desire and interest in your prayers. We'll look into a little thought we have this morning. I'd like to work with the words we have on the board here. Opportunities not taken. Opportunity means fit or convenient time. A time favorable for the purpose. A suitable time combined with other favorable circumstances. A suitable time combined with other favorable circumstances. Suitableness of time is a predominant signification of this word, but it includes generally circumstances of place and other conveniences adapted to the end desired. So, have you ever had something that you would call an opportunity? I have. I've had many opportunities in my life. I've had many times that things seem to just work out to where the end result or the desire that I had was realized. Sometimes we say that we're waiting for opportunity to knock on our door, or we're waiting for the right opportune time for something before we would proceed with something. But opportunity is something that all of us have been exposed to in various areas of our life. I'd like for us to turn first to Luke, the 12th chapter, and read a passage here starting, I believe, in the 16th verse. But let's turn over here to Luke, 12th chapter. And we find here someone that obviously had a lot of opportunities in his life. And we don't know what they exactly were, but we're picking up the story after the realization of the desires was being fulfilled. When we start reading in the 16th verse, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For God said unto him, Thou fool. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and not rich towards God." Well, when I read this story and I think about it, I believe that there's several opportunities here. Some of them have been taken, and some of them not taken. I'm interested in us recognizing that sometimes every time that we do not take opportunities that are presented to us, there are consequences that follow. All right? The first opportunity that I'd like for us to observe in this parable is that the ground of the rich man brought forth plentiful. He obviously was in the right position, had the seed on hand, had the equipment in good working order, and when the opportune time came, he cultivated the earth, planted his seeds, and the crop grew, and it said it brought forth bountifully. So he took advantage of the opportunity at the right time and the opportunity of the weather and everything, and he brought in a bountiful harvest. In fact, it was so much that he didn't have facilities big enough to store all of his goods. And I'm not sure exactly how their commerce system was back then. If you produced more grain than you could store in your own grain bins today. You could always take it and sell it at the grain elevator. But I don't know how it worked at that time, but he didn't have enough. So here is an opportunity he had. I'm sure that his storage facility that he had was adequate, more than adequate. It said he was already a rich man. So this opportunity to have a prosperous year had happened over and over and over again. And I'm sure that he had plenty to store for his own needs as well as to sell at a profit. He already had that set up. There's no confusion about that. And now he had more than he could use and more than he could store. So here is there's another opportunity. What could he have done? We don't know the details, but we do know this, that instead of taking advantage of the opportunity to cultivate his relationship with the Lord and maybe to do some good with that in God's work, instead of that, he said, I'm just going to hoard all of this to myself. So he had an opportunity that he did not take. And what did it cost him? His soul. It cost him his soul. He went down to a place of punishment because he missed taking advantage of the opportunity that was presented to him. It seems like that's what's implied or inferred about the rich man, that he missed that opportunity. Many, many people long for resources to be able to work more effectively for the Lord. Many people desire that. But often we find that those that have those resources or that the Lord blesses them with them, they don't take advantage of the opportunity to do something with it. Instead, they build a bigger barn. Instead, they do something. And what does it cost them? I would have to say that at the very minimum, it'll cost them in leanness of their soul. All right? Did you know that Abraham Lincoln didn't have much opportunity for education? He was a man that we look on as... maybe some of you school children can tell me, or young adults. Did he write his own speeches? Y'all are nodding your head that he wrote his own speeches. You know, the Gettysburg Address and some other of his speeches, they go down in history as a phenomenal speech, do they not? And we read those and we say, wow. Abraham, this is Abraham Lincoln's words. You know how he learned how to read? You know how many books he had to read at home? You remember? Trenton says one. Just the Bible. He learned how to read by reading the Bible in the middle of the afternoon? No. He had work to do during the middle of the afternoon. He would stay up at night and gathered up all of his mother's scrap candle and the candle wax and remelt himself a candle and would read by candlelight after everybody else had went to bed. He learned how to read. He cultivated a memory. His parents couldn't go to the church, and the story is that Abe Lincoln could go and listen to the preacher preach, and then he'd come home and stand up on the stump and preach the same sermon to his family. Am I telling the story right? Incredible, was it not? He went on to become a lawyer, did he not? Raised in a log cabin, learning how to read by candlelight in the middle of the night when everybody else was sleeping. He had a passion for learning how to read. That was one thing. But just getting knowledge and information. He was a well-informed man. But he wasn't just informed with book learning. He was in contact, I believe, with our Heavenly Father. All right? So we have a man here that didn't have much opportunity, and he became the president of our United States. Someone that all people look to as a remarkable man. His leadership, his willingness to take the stands and positions that he did in society at a time when it wasn't very popular. All right? You know, the test scores in our nation tell us that there's some young people that's not taking advantage of the opportunities that they got. Opportunities not taken. You ever been to sitting in class? You ever been to maybe a college class when somebody don't show up? A man that I work with was telling me about an acquaintance he has. And their child graduated last May and has went through their first semester of college. And I don't know where they went. All I know, this is a comment I heard. The father of this child was very disappointed. Said when they got their final grades on all the classes that their child had taken, he said, didn't do any good. D's and F's. And he said, I might as well took that $3,000 that it cost me and just went out on the street corner and handed out $100 bills to the first 30 people that I came in contact with. He said it had done me just as much good. It's an opportunity not taken. It sounds like Dad was paying the bill, and this young person could have went to college and availed himself of an opportunity, and they didn't take it. Didn't get nothing out of it. What did they do with their time? Did they show up for class? Did they do the assignments? Opportunity not taken. This father was thoroughly disgusted, and I'm not real sure what he's going to do. But there's going to have to be some consequences to that, is there not? You know, teachers today are burdened with being able to provide education in a intriguing, interesting, entertaining manner. They don't have too many that comes knocking on the door saying, I'd just like to know how that really works. I'd really like to understand that lesson a little better. Could we have a few more problems on our assignment? We don't have that. It's all looked on. The opportunities are looked on as drudgery. I know I was there. I didn't like homework either. But what I'm saying is there's an opportunity not being taken. When people in the years past would have just felt like that would have been the best Christmas present they could have ever had to be able to just go to school. To just be able to learn something. Whether it was math or anything. Instead they had to chop cotton or they had to whatever it was. They didn't have the opportunity. So now we have opportunities and a lot of times they're not taken. They're not utilized. They're not realized. They're not applied in our lives. A lot of times it seems like the ambitious ones in our society, I'm talking about young people, older people too maybe, but primarily those that are going to high school and college and all that, seems like they're real ambitious ones. They want a title, a paycheck, and an office. That's all they really want. They don't really want to know how to be a contributor. They just want a position and a paycheck. You know, I know I'm grinding on this, but education is almost unlimited. The opportunities for education is almost unlimited in our society today. And very few use them. Very few. All of us have had opportunities I mean, I'm talking to myself too, folks. All of us have had opportunities to read the scripture this week. Did we take it? All of us have had opportunities to be prepared, more prepared, when we come to service. Have we taken it? I'd like for us to turn to the fourth chapter of Luke. I want to shift gears on us a little bit. We'll start reading in the 18th verse here. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, talking about looking on Jesus. And he came to say unto them, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." This day. Can you imagine what it felt like to be there when Jesus read that, and for the realization to go over the whole crowd that something was different? And then for Jesus to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Do you know that this was a tremendous opportunity? You can go back and read the prophecy that Isaiah gave almost word for word in Isaiah 61, if you would like to do that. And Jesus said, "I'm come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set deliverance to the captives. That's what I've came to do." And then he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Opportunity here. How much closer could it get to call it knocking on your door? Here we have opportunity. And how many took advantage of it? Not very many. Oh, there was, after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, we find that there was as many as 3,000 or 5,000 added to the church in one day. That's amazing, isn't it? But that's still just a drop in a bucket. If 3,000 people in the state of Missouri converted to true Christianity and was truly following the Lord with all their heart, they didn't believe in all this other false doctrine that's out there, and they were sincere about pleasing the Lord and laying aside all the things that would cause them corruption and contamination in their life. If 3,000 in the state of Missouri, that's just a few, isn't it? Be a vast minority. And it was in that day too. Just a small handful that really accepted Christ. Opportunity. See? There's many of them that's not taken. And it seems like the more opportunities that we have, and we want the next generation to have better opportunities than we had, don't we? There's things that I recognize that I have this thing about me that I want to spare my children to some extent from learning things the hard way. I want them to have better opportunities. But will they take advantage of it? Or will they just step over it and go on? Will they look at the things that I have hammered out with my own hands, so to speak, and has cost me sweat and blood? And will they look at that and just kind of turn up their nose and say, "I don't know, it don't look too valuable to me. I don't think that's very important." Will they just pass on? And it's an opportunity, see? You know, there's an opportunity that's come whereby man can be saved and delivered from sin. An opportunity to be delivered from the power of sin is here today. It's not something, if you lived in Isaiah's time, you was looking forward to the day that the Messiah would come, the day that there would be an opportunity that I could come to the Lord and be reunited
to have a fellowship like Adam and Eve had in the garden. That's what they were looking forward to for years and generations and generations. And it's here. It's been around almost a little over 2,000 years. And how many people have not taken that opportunity in our world today? In fact, it looks like that it's being ridiculed more and more as time goes on. That's not an opportunity. That's just for weak-minded people. The real opportunity is to be a God yourself. That's the thing that's promised out there today. In John, the 4th chapter, and the 23rd and the 24th verse. It says here, Jesus talking to the woman at the well, he says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. An opportunity. See, an opportunity was presented in this woman's time. You're going to be able to worship the Lord not with just sacrifices and not just taking things up to the temple or the tabernacle or whatever, but you're going to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. An opportunity. And it's still the same today. We have that opportunity. We can worship the Lord not because I got more lambs than you do, or because you've got more turtle doves than I do and you can bring more. That's not the way it works. I can worship the Lord in spirit and truth. There's an opportunity. And how many of them, or how many individuals don't take that opportunity? You know, the rich man passed up an opportunity. I don't know specifically what he was supposed to do with all the surplus that his land provided. But I know this, he was supposed to do something besides just hoard it. Because it cost him an atrocious amount. You and I have an opportunity today because Jesus came. The whole idea of Christmas is not... I like to commemorate Christ's birth, folks. I really do. I think it's important. It's valid for us. But I'm challenging us today with the help of the Lord. Let's don't pass the opportunity. We have an opportunity to know the Lord for ourselves. We have an opportunity to worship Him in spirit and truth. The little child that came, whether it was what we know is December the 25th or not, is to me is irrelevant. The point is He came. There's been an opportunity made available for us. He didn't stay a little baby. He grew up and showed us how to live. He says He was tempted in all points like you and I were, yet without sin. He was crucified like a criminal. He rose victorious from the grave and ascended up on high. And He was standing on the right hand of the Father when Stephen was being crucified. And we have an opportunity today to cry out to God in Jesus' name for His blood to be applied to our sins and our transgressions, and we can be delivered. An opportunity. What are we going to do with it? Just pass on by? What did the prodigal son do with his opportunity? You know, he had an opportunity to inherit, I'm going to say, a comfortable inheritance. He did. But what did he do with that opportunity to make something for himself? What did he do with it? Squandered it. He lost it. He wasted it. We've got an opportunity when we're here today, this is... Dear ones, we're doing the best we can to uphold the truth, and we have an opportunity to get a hold of it for ourselves. And what are we going to do with it?
Let's look at Luke, the 19th chapter. I'm going to read a story about a man. I'm so thankful for the ones that took advantage of the opportunity down through the years. And it's what's preserved the truth for us today, is those that took advantage of the opportunities. I read a story here in the 19th chapter of Luke about Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, as I was taught when I was a little boy. And we find out here that Jesus was coming and passed through Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus there. And what did he do? You remember? He didn't wait for Jesus to come all the way to his front door and knock on the door and say, "Zacchaeus, are you in there?" He didn't wait for that. He didn't say, "Oh, yeah, I heard that guy Jesus is coming to town. And, you know, if he comes down my street, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and listen to what he says." That's not what he did he? Zacchaeus had a problem. He knew that when he got in the crowd, he wasn't going to be able to see because everybody else was taller than him. So he wanted to be able to, he wanted to make sure that he made contact with Jesus. Wanted to see this man, wanted to hear what he said. So what did he do? He ran ahead of the crowd, I believe. Said he made haste and came, sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not because he was a little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree. So he ran up ahead, kind of figured out which direction he was going, and he ran up ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, what is God going to do? Lord, help us to get a hold of this point here. And when we take advantage of the opportunities that comes our way to get in a position where we can hear the voice of the Lord, what's He going to do? Jesus didn't come by Zacchaeus with his head down. He didn't come by and put him on ignore. Everybody, there was a big majority of the crowd that was there just to see what was going on. But Zacchaeus was there to make contact with Jesus. And when he made the effort, he ran ahead, climbed up in the tree, got into position, and he wasn't up there counting the leaves on the tree. He was looking down the road to see Jesus walking along. And when Jesus got close to him, it says that Jesus looked up. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Can you see what happened here? Zacchaeus took advantage of the opportunity. He didn't just wait for it to come pouring in his front door. He put himself in a place where he could make sure he got the full benefit of Jesus passing by. And Jesus, what's Jesus going to do today? If you just stand back in the crowd and say, "Yeah, I seen him go by out there. He's a good looking man." No. When you get in a place where you can really make some contact with the Lord, He's going to make contact with you. He's going to pay attention to your interests. Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus will come to your house. If you'll take advantage of the opportunity, He'll come to your house. He'll eat with you. And the 9th verse said unto him, and Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those which was lost." Zacchaeus took advantage of opportunity. It was not an opportunity not taken. You know, the thing that grieves me the most in society, I'm talking about temporal things now, is to see one generation put in tremendous amount of effort to provide golden opportunities for the next generation, and the next generation come along and seems like they just step over those opportunities and stumble out into oblivion. They step over that golden opportunity that mom and dad or grandpa and grandma or the fourth generation back provided for them, and they just kind of step over that and turn up their nose and stumble out into something and try to reinvent the wheel. That bothers me, okay? Now, on the same hand, I've witnessed with my own eyes, I've seen people that have lived a careful life. Did they make mistakes? Yes, they made mistakes. They've done the best they knew how to create an environment for their children to grow up in. And when the children come along, they seem like they just step over that golden opportunity and just stumble out into confusion. And that's heartbreaking too. So wherever we are in our walk with the Lord today, or wherever we are in our understanding of a relationship with the Lord, I want to just give you this challenge. Today is an opportunity. Today is an opportunity. If the Lord is dealing with your heart, today is an opportunity to take advantage of that. If you don't, there's going to be some consequences. If we don't take advantage of the opportunities that's handed us, sometimes they're handed on a silver platter, so to speak. It's like a golden opportunity. And other times the opportunities are kind of like old Zacchaeus. He had to run ahead and climb up a tree and maybe hang out there on a limb to see Jesus. Whatever it is, I'm interested today. I'm challenging you. Don't pass your opportunities. An opportunity not taken. What is it going to be at the end? Have you ever? What did the prodigal son say when he was down there in the pig pen?
He's going to be a servant.
Yeah, he said, "I go back." He said, "You know," he got to thinking and figuring this all out. He said, "You know, the people that back at my house, it's the lowest man on the totem pole is eating better than I am. They got good food to eat and a clean place to sleep, and here I am in a pig pen." I missed my opportunity, see? I wasted my opportunity. And here I am, living and eating the same stuff the pigs are eating. Filthy place. Disgusting. Despised by Jews. That's what swine was. You know what's going to happen if you don't take the opportunity to give your heart and life to the Lord? You're going to live to regret it. You're going to live to regret it. There's going to be a day that you're going to say, "Had I only." I wonder if we had that song. "Had I only."